For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The population of California is decreasing.
We know nothing about different cities.
One of my big predictions for this century is going to be huge increase in migration.
Millions of people will migrate the next 5 years.
Don't tell everyone.
You can sell now an apartment in London, buy two or maybe three apartments the same quality in Dubai now.
8 years ago, I started thinking about AI for real estate. I started my career at 12.
Not so fast, right?
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world? I would like to welcome you back to the Real Talk with Zuby podcast. And on today's episode, coming right out of Dubai, we have got on the founder and CEO of Realist, and this is Alex Galt. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. And by the way, I like your voice.
Thank you. Thank you. A lot of people say I have a radio voice, so it's probably good I ended up becoming a musician.
Like a golden voice in US, so, you know, like radio.
Thank you. Alex, I've done a real brief intro there, but for people who are not familiar with who you are and what you do, please introduce yourself.
For sure. So I'm founder of Realist. Realist is an AI company. We are developing AI for real estate. And this AI now solves four problems. So first of all, it helps people to identify the best properties that match their criteria, or for investors who are looking at the best ROI, all this stuff. And we solve the problem, we call it first page problem. So in Google, you can get all information in first page, right? And I heard the joke of Elon Musk in your interview about if you would like to hide the dead body, you should hide it on second page. Yes, but if you're going looking for real estate, you can get the service, right? So you have to go listings, scrolling a lot of real estate websites. So this AI just collects all information, identifies what's the best for buying, and just highlights you on the first page.
Okay.
This is the first problem. Second thing, we're decreasing the cost of transactions. So for now, if you would like to sell your apartment in London and buy in Dubai, you're gonna get 10% transaction costs, like direct or hiring cost. Mm-hmm. We're decreasing it for 2 times. We hope we will decrease it 5 times. That's what we do.
Awesome.
In short.
Awesome. When did you start the company?
Oh man, I have been working on AI 8 years so far, for personal AI, for real estate, and all my career is about real estate. Mm. I started my career at 12. So I sold my first plot of land at the age of 12.
How did you already have land at 12? Was that
it wasn't my land.
Okay.
So. Yeah, so my mom invested in real estate that time, and she bought a plot of land, and she couldn't sell it. So she made a tour for clients like 80 times. Mm-hmm. And like it's the 81st time one guy came to us. I remember it was a guy with, you know, like a big mustache, like a Texas style. Yeah, and she was so tired, so she said, go and
show to this gentleman this plot of land. Mm-hmm. So, and old guy with this gentleman in the car, we were driving, you know, like 1 hour out of Moscow in the suburbs. And yeah, so I showed him this plot of land and he decided to buy. So that was my first commission. So it's approximately 2 cheeseburgers. Yeah, and after I started helping and, you know, making some advertising on paper, like you write something, you stick it on the doors, mm-hmm. like everywhere. So yeah, so that from that time I started working in real estate. And 8 years ago, I started thinking about AI for real estate. So because at that time, I already had a company with real estate agents. Mm-hmm. So like easy way, right? 12 sold first plots, working in this space. And so I understood that one day AI will come, definitely.
Yeah.
And this thing will change everything. So, and I started working on this business model and AI production. And the first time it was just, it were like Excel files, just smart Excel files. But after it became better and better, but it was a very tough way. So I tried to fundraise money for this idea. Mm-hmm. So for the 8 years, I spoke with approximately 250 venture capitalists. And no one gave me money.
Okay. And this was in Russia at the time?
No, I lived in New York for 1 year. I lived for several months in Silicon Valley, New York. I was in UK, in London. Okay. So globally, I spoke with 250 venture capitalists and nobody gave me money for this idea. Mm-hmm. So with some of them, I spoke 2 times for the 8 years. So they just... didn't remember me. Yeah. And I asked second time. With one guy, I spoke 3 times.
Okay.
And
I have a question, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
How did you keep going through that? Because 250 no's is a lot of no's. So how did you continue to pursue the idea and not get discouraged?
First of all, I have been working in real estate for the whole life. So the whole my business was just to identify the plot of land you could buy, subdivided by small pieces of land, mm-hmm. and sell it. So this was my business model for 15 years.
Yeah.
And I have been working on this product for just replacing my brain for these operations. Mm-hmm. That because I have been doing for myself, for my family, so for my friends, this product. And to build real AI, you need some more funds that you can produce yourself, that you can earn from your main business. And if they say no, I still continue to build it. Yeah. So why not? Because once you're able to build this machine and AI could work perfectly, this definitely could, you know, bring your all expenses back. Mm-hmm. So that's what my idea. So simple.
Yeah. Do you think that you were perhaps just a bit too early for them to get it?
For sure.
Okay.
For sure. Too early. Nobody believed it possible.
Yeah.
And that time. So AI existed already.
Yeah.
Right. But for some big companies, you know, like Watson or ABM, something like this. And just now, a year ago, it became like for everyone that's for real already. But before that time, nobody believed it possible.
Yeah. It's been interesting to see the mainstreaming of AI over the last 2 years or so.
Sure.
I guess it seems to have been ChatGPT was sort of killer app on people's radar. It's interesting because artificial intelligence has been around, I mean, in some capacity, I guess, longer than I've been alive. But it's been there for a very long time. I'm always interested when a technology or an idea makes the jump from something which is niche and present, but really well known or well understood or implemented, to something that everyone is suddenly talking about and using in various capacities.
It's the same with internet.
Yeah.
Like
internet, the age of internet was approximately 40 years, if I'm not wrong, before it became popular.
Yeah.
So 40 years. AI is something the same. So AI existed 35, 40 years mm-hmm. before it became popular. So, yes. I got all these notes and continued to build it. And I discovered one interesting thing. Once you can get money from VCs, possibly you can get money from users. And we launched the first prototype, like MVP, minimum valuable product for customers, launched in Moscow. And this was a simple software identifying apartments with a discount price. Mm-hmm. So literally, like, you could get something for $300,000 or you have some listings for $270,000, it's 10% discount. And this AI just highlights these opportunities for investors. Mm-hmm. And like first week, we got free users. Okay. Yeah, first week, free users. After week, we got 30. Mm-hmm. And in 2 months, I think we got 1,000 or something like this.
Okay.
And all these guys were in a chat, in a Telegram chat, by the way. And I decided to ask them, maybe they would like to invest.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in pandemic time, first $2 million from these users online.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Without, so this was, was this 2020?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So without, you know, knowing personally.
That's actually very impressive.
Yes.
So from, you got 2 million from around 1,000 early users.
No, 1,000.
Oh, several thousand
like,
people.
It were like 40.
Got it. Got
yeah.
it. Okay.
40 with average check, like $50,000.
Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive. And so tell me about the next steps from there.
Oh, next steps were dramatically more difficult.
Okay.
So we started to build a real AI for estimation apartment. So you could estimate apartment in 10 seconds. What is the real market price? What is going to be the rent for this apartment? And the most important part here is explanation why.
Mm.
So we can subdivide two AIs for now for B2C, for personal use. Like a black box AI, you don't know how it works, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
So ChatGPT, you don't know how it works and you use it. But the second point, the second type of AI, explainable AI. So once AI shows you the price of your apartment, for example, $300,000,
mm-hmm.
you definitely would like to see explanation. You don't need just a number. And the second part is the most difficult thing to do in AI, just not highlight the number, highlight some result,
mm-hmm.
but explain to customer why the price is so, the rent is so. That was the difficult part.
Okay.
So we spend it.
Why is, I'm just trying to understand this technically. Why is that part difficult? Because I would have thought those inner workings, I thought it would be a matter of making those inner workings visible to the user rather than hiding them. Or is it that AI typically doesn't run through those in the algorithm? Why is that? Why is making AI, is the term explainable?
Yes.
Yeah. Why is it? Why is that part difficult?
In real estate, you basically have 200 parameters identifying the real estate and the price, location, count of floors, views, floor plans, yeah. different things. So that's why it's difficult, because nobody has done it before,
mm-hmm.
because the real estate market is completely difficult. So you can take two similar apartments in one building
mm-hmm.
with different views, different price.
Yes.
You can take two buildings near each other. It's going to be a different price. You can take neighborhoods. It's going to be a different price for mm-hmm. the same building.
Yes.
The same building in one neighborhood and the same building in another is going to be different. So multiply, please, apartments, buildings, neighborhoods, locations, and city.
Mm-hmm.
Multiply each parameters like 10. You're going to get
yeah.
more than millions of combinations. That's thing. So AI identifies these relations in-house with all these weights, etc., but
to explain it easily to customers, this is the key. Mm-hmm. So what is explanation? This is a price. This is a listings near you, the similar listings. This listings was sold. This was exposition days. That's why your price is so. Mm-hmm. So this is an explanation part, the most important part.
I got you. So at this time, you are still in Moscow. How did you end up in Dubai?
The war started. So the war started, and before the war, we had already signed dozens of huge contracts with biggest banks, government entities, with biggest developers in Russia. And I thought my life are gonna be cool from that day.
Yeah.
But because 8 years before this was awful, were awful. And war started, we understood that from that day it's impossible to build a global company from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And we understood that we all in a company do not support this thing. And we understood that it's not going to be for a few weeks.
Yeah.
It's going to be for a very long time. So we decided to move, half of the company moved in the first 2 weeks to Dubai. And the rest, half of the company moved after 3-4 months.
Okay.
So.
And how did you pick Dubai? Because to make that decision, and was that already on your radar as where you wanted to end up, or?
That's an interesting question, by the way.
Yeah.
We picked Saudi Arabia first.
Okay, interesting.
So Saudi Arabia, for me, it looked like the new Silicon Valley, probably. Mm. In time, of course, like in 30, 40, 50 years.
As a side note, that's so fascinating to me because I grew up there in the 80s, 90s.
Really?
And early 2000s. Yeah, I grew up in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, really?
I lived there for 20 years.
Wow.
So to hear Saudi Arabia being called the potential next Silicon Valley, to me, that was just like a... when I was living there, no one would have uttered that sentence, right? It's just, I know exactly what you mean by it, but I'm just thinking, man, like it's come a long way.
That's yeah. for sure. But we saw tons of commitment from government and from different funds to invest in Saudi Arabia and IT business, AI business, technologies, etc. So we decided to pick Saudi Arabia first. But once I saw the country, once I saw the Riyadh, I generally understood that it's not the best time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be in 3, 4, 5 years for like a culture, right?
Yes.
For startups, for IT businesses. Now it's not ready. Mm-hmm. That was my opinion. And at that time, one guy called me and said, hey, you were doing cool things in Russia. Could you please give me the technology for Dubai?
Okay.
I asked, how much do you want to pay for this?
Yeah.
He said, oh, $150,000. Okay. So, and I asked, what is the share of the company you would like to have? He said, 10% is enough. I just calculated in my mind. So nothing exists in Dubai. Mm-hmm. The guy wanted to pay $150,000 for 10%. So the whole company could be $1.5 million for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, send me money.
Yeah,
he sent me money, and we copied our approach and technology for Dubai market.
Okay.
And I decided to visit Dubai because in my mind, Dubai was like a tourist city, yeah. Like desert, you know, like no alcohol, something
yeah.
like
yeah.
this.
People tend to have one of two perceptions. Either that it's just like a backwards place in the desert and it's super oppressive and legalistic and it's horrible for women and this and this and this, or that it's like Las Vegas and it's just super flashy and expensive and shallow. There's these like two extreme opinions that people tend to have.
Las Vegas without casinos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. And I decided to visit this beautiful city. Before I visited already, I was a tourist.
Okay.
But business?
Yeah.
IT? Okay, let's visit the country. So, and I spoke with 10 entrepreneurs here, Russians and local Indians and UK entrepreneurs.
And they said, literally, Dubai is the future. Mm. I decided to explore. And after 2 weeks, my efforts for exploring, I decided to buy back his shares.
You decided to buy what?
Buy back his shares.
Oh, okay. Of this guy. You realize you undersold.
And I bought back for $450,000.
Wow, that guy made a good play.
Yeah, so this guy made like a 1,000 ROI.
Yeah.
Like IRR, like 3x.
Yeah.
And I decided that we should move to Dubai and start the company here because the market is ready, AI supported by governments heavily.
Yes.
And let's start. Let's try. And we started working in Dubai. And in 3 months, we have developed the platform to highlight all new developments, all data about around it, all neighborhoods, forecasting what is the best neighborhood for investment, all this stuff around. And people started to come and visit this website and asking us to help them buy something.
Okay.
We decided why not. So we went, so we spoke with developers, signed 150 contracts just for selling them as a usual broker. Mm-hmm. And the business model at that time was people were coming website, visiting website, all this data for free. If they would like to invest, we made for them like, we had for them a free expert on this platform. This expert helped them to pick the right property and we matched with developer directly, mm-hmm. like in a general WhatsApp chat with developer, and once the deal is done, a developer paid us commission, and that business model disrupted everything. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that was 2022.
At the end of 2022.
End of 2022. Yeah. Okay. And how's that grown? And we're now at the early stage of 2024. So what's that progress been like over that past approaching 2 years?
So far in one plus year, we sold for $150 million real estate. It's approximately $7 million commission. Mm-hmm. The company achieved breaking even. So the company from one time in the history, we don't need money anymore for the 8 years, my suffering.
You can see the pain in your eyes.
Yes. We decided that this approach, one important thing, all this process was built without any participation of realtors.
Okay.
So literally for now, people are able to look all analytics, decision-making data, everything for free. Mm-hmm. So nothing is paid, no subscription, zero.
Yeah.
And they're able to buy real estate online. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't the case before. And directly from developer.
Yeah.
And we decrease the cost of transaction. So approximately 1% for now. Mm-hmm. We hope we will decrease more.
And how have realtors responded to this? I heard you say in
they hate us.
Okay.
they literally hate us.
You jumped right in there because I know that there are realtors who are using your platform.
Probably.
But I'm curious. Yeah. Okay. So
all realtor society in Dubai, I think like 90% of realtors know us for now in Dubai. Russian speaking, English speaking, yes. Indians. So it's two major groups. One group understood that this is an interesting thing and they should use this AI tools and predictions just to help their clients and grow their revenue. And they work with us.
Yeah.
So, and the old style group, mm-hmm. they hate us dramatically.
Yes.
So once they literally see me in the public somewhere.
I'm like, it's good you're in Dubai.
Yes. I literally see in their eyes
really?
That they would like to punch me in the face.
Wow.
That's for sure. They very hate us. But in Dubai, it's prohibited. So I feel myself.
I was like, this is probably the best time to be one of the safest cities in the world.
In Saudi Arabia, probably. Yeah. It's going to be a different thing.
Yeah. I mean, how do you see and think about that aspect of it? Because honestly, that's a huge question with AI in general,
that's
right?
For sure.
Not just for the real estate market, but across all these different sectors and industries, one of the biggest concerns about it, including a concern of mine, is
about the music,
replacing, right? Replacing human jobs.
Right.
In a way that previous technologies perhaps didn't. I know that with every new wave of technology, there's always a concern about people's jobs being displaced. But when you look at where AI already is and the speed at which it's advancing, I mean, it's fascinating. I can tell you a little story on this. I remember, so I'm a computer science graduate.
No, really?
So, yeah. So I've been thinking about AI since early 2000s, probably. Mm. I even did a module on it in university. And I remember as recently as about 5 or 6 years ago when the conversations about AI were happening, people were primarily concerned about transportation jobs, taxi drivers, trucking, that kind of thing, logistics. And I remember myself and others saying, okay, well, jobs that are more creative, surely there's like a long time to go before it can replicate that. And then I remember in like 2022, 2023, all of this wave of like AI music, not just electronic music, but like sounding exactly like Jay-Z, sounding like Kanye West, sounding like, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, there are rap songs and rock songs. I mean, people are making, there's music being made, which sounds like bands or artists who are literally no longer alive.
That's for sure.
And I, as a long-term fan of some of these artists, I cannot even differentiate between the real artist and the AI generated stuff. And I'm just like, okay, if that's what we're hearing, this thing is already many years ahead of that. So that was like quite a mind-blowing moment for me where I was just like, wow, this technology has already gone far beyond
that's for sure
what people thought. So
that's for sure.
What are your thoughts about all that? Because I assume you don't want to be replaced either, right?
And yes and no. Yeah. Let me explain you. So first of all, my task to ChatGPT was write me a song with the style of Eminem and Snoop Dogg about realist.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yes, and literally it was great.
Okay.
And one guy from my team. So I just send it the text mm-hmm. of the song.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
To the general chat of the company, and one guy from my team after 10 minutes sent like an audio record with these voices.
Oh gosh. With like, and
yes.
It sounds like Eminem and Snoop?
Yes, it was a collaboration.
This is scary, right?
It was a collaboration,
really?
Literally, and the song is great.
I have to hear this. Like after
yeah. I will show you after. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the song was great. Literally, like realist identify as the best.
Wow.
Literally, it was great. So, about realtors, it's a tough question for sure.
Yeah.
And people are already afraid about new technologies at least two times in history. So I have a history degree. Mm-hmm. So I explored what's happened in the past. And it's industrial revolution and electricity. Mm-hmm. So AI is the same kind of level of technology, like industrial revolution and electricity. And for sure, industrial revolution and electricity changed the life of millions at that time, mm-hmm. Dramatically. But what we have now, we have better jobs, right? We have more jobs than previously. I think that the work of humans should be more creative. And I think about it like, let's imagine we have whole world like a small village, 100 people in this village, that's mm-hmm. all. We all producing something, trade, goods and services between. And approximately 40% of time we spend for nothing. Mm. For just, you know, convincing, for preparing PDF files, for presentations, all these things, right? So I think that if we can eliminate 40% of not a good producing time, mm-hmm. right?
Busy work.
Yes, you call it busy work. And do something new, better. Mm. This is an option to think about it on a different angle.
Yeah.
And what I think about realtors, I think definitely with AI technologies, approximately 30% of realtors are in danger of reduction in the next 5 years,
okay.
maybe less. That's for sure. Yeah. We need to understand this. That's for sure. But the best realtors and the best professionals will implement the solutions into the work mm-hmm. and do better. And cost of transactions will decrease. What does it mean? It means that the market of real estate market totally, the volume will increase. Mm-hmm. Let me explain you.
Okay.
If you want to, for example, you sell your apartment and you want to move to Dubai, 10%. Average 5%, or maybe UK, 3%, mm-hmm. or 2%, or something like this, 2-3%. In Dubai, it's 4%, so general 7%. Because of this cost of transaction, not a lot of people are changing their place of living and countries. So approximately 95% of human beings are still living locations they were born. Or they grew up.
Is it 95%?
Approximately. Approximately.
I've always actually wondered what that statistic is.
Nobody collected it. But frankly, you could ask your friends and you could ask 100 people mm-hmm. and 95 people still are living in the same place, right?
Yeah. So don't ask people that question in Dubai, obviously, but in most places.
Yes. Dubai is a different case. But approximately, 90%.
Yeah.
So a lot of people. Why? And I think that because, first of all, lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what's, for example, Dubai is. Literally, you can sell now an apartment in London and buy two or maybe three apartments the same quality in Dubai now.
Don't tell everyone.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
And lack of knowledge mm-hmm. and the second cost of transactions.
Yeah.
So that's why people used to change their homes once in 20 years average. Mm-hmm. So not so fast, right? So, but literally with new technologies and new approaches, new data, it's possible to identify places where you should live or where you could live.
Yes.
Where you could get better life.
Yeah, this is interesting because, I mean, this is completely up my alley. I mean, I don't... I don't actually live anywhere. I've been a nomadic for the past 2.5 years. Mm. I left the UK mid-2021 and I haven't had any fixed abode since then. But I became a Dubai resident last year and I'm going to be making this place. Thank you.
Yeah.
I started a company here. So this will become my primary HQ as I continue traveling. But it's been fascinating because I've been living this life of, I guess you could call it geo-arbitrage, where I'm going to different places.
Exactly.
And kind of doing what I need to do in each place, but not being fixed and rooted to one area and looking for the best opportunities for different aspects of my life. and for my potential future. And I think that this century is going to be a really fascinating one. I always remind people that we're in the first quarter of a new century, right? We're not even approaching halfway
yet.
That's
for sure.
And so if I think of the general direction that the world is moving and technology is moving, one of my big predictions for this century is going to be a huge increase in migration in all directions.
That's for sure.
Right? When people think of migration, particularly in the West, people think of, oh, everyone wants to come to the West, everyone wants to come to the UK, everyone wants to come to USA, everyone wants to come to Canada, and no one or not very many people want to go, say, from West to East. I see this massively shifting.
Yes.
I think that there are going to be many places. Dubai is an obvious one. You already talked about the potential of Saudi. I think there are many cities and nations which right now the average person, it's not even on their radar, right? They're just thinking, oh, that's a poor place, or that's a backward place, or that's not interesting, or whatever. But I think as some places become less appealing, others are going to become far more appealing. Whereas by the time we're in, I don't know, 20, 50 and further on, what it looks like in terms of the desirable places to live and work around the world are going to be completely different to what it's been for most of our lifetime. It's already happening.
For sure.
It's already happening. Like, I spent a lot of time in the USA, and it's quite fascinating what's happening there. So for the first time in history, the population of California is decreasing.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. So
and New York.
Yes, exactly. So most of my life, if someone wants to live in not just the USA, but the best cities in the world, it was always, you know, London, Paris, New York, LA, San Francisco, like everyone.
That's for sure.
Those are the hot places. That's where it all is. Even in the movies, the TV, whatever, that's the, oh, LA, amazing. New York, amazing. And
that's
now,
for sure.
If I look at just the US even, it's like places like Austin, Dallas, Nashville, Miami, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, Utah, like all these places, their populations are growing. You go to Austin, everyone's complaining about the traffic and too many people are moving in and so on. And, you know, just like in Dubai, people are like, hey, too many people are coming. There's too much traffic. And I just think that's all going to shift massively. And people underestimate it. I think also people underestimate that we're going to have new countries. So if you think about it, you were born in the 80s?
90s. I'm 33.
Oh, now. You're 33. Okay. All right. I'm an 80s baby. but if I think, when I was born, I think there were about 170 countries in the world.
Yes.
Now it's about 196.
Yes.
So just in my life, there's 25, 26 more countries. So even when people think of countries, they think of it as being fixed. Mm. And it's like, no, actually, if you think 25 years from now, there might be 220, there might be 230 countries. You'll have blocks which split. You might have some that even come together. So even the map as we know it, geographically, it'll be the same. But where the lines and the borders are, it's most likely that actually that's also going to change. And people don't tend to think of that.
For sure.
I think that's interesting. And I think it plays into everything
I
that
like
you're doing.
The way you think.
Yeah,
really,
thank you.
I like the way you think. And yes. Okay. Yes. This is definitely, I should take these words into my pitch.
Yeah.
So we recorded it, right?
Yeah. I'll just take small commission. Right?
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yes, literally. You know, we know nothing about the world for sure. We know nothing about different cities. We know a little bit about different cultures.
Yes.
Because of the food, because of something, but we know nothing about the cities, believe me. And in Realist, what we have done, we launched analytics for 114 cities now. So globally, rating, safety, rating, prices for real estate, income, cost of living, rent. So everything for 114 cities. I hope this year we'll finish with 300 cities.
Okay.
Yeah, this is my goal, approximately 1,000 cities with a population more than 500,000.
How are you prioritizing the order? Is it based on population?
Opportunity to take the data.
Got it.
Data in real estate is a pain. Mm. Nothing exists. Literally nothing. Only data in the US
it's potentially good.
Okay.
Even in UK, the data is not good. Mm. So this, because of AI, it's now possible to collect this data, enrich this data, and literally identify the real rating of the cities. Mm. For example, what do you think about apartments, the average size of apartments in which country, in which city, the smallest apartments in the world?
What would I think?
Yeah.
Maybe Tokyo?
Number 12.
Tokyo is number 12. Smallest apartments. Wow.
Not just one smallest apartment in the world, but average.
Yeah, average yeah. smallest. I would have thought it would be somewhere in Japan. Is it somewhere in China, perhaps?
No.
No? London?
No.
No. the smallest.
Maybe Hong Kong.
Oh, Hong Kong. Okay.
Number 7.
Or Monaco?
No.
No. somewhere in Switzerland? I don't know. No, yeah, no. I would have guessed somewhere in Japan, so I don't know.
Russia? Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I wouldn't have guessed.
So, okay. The average size of apartment in Moscow is 45 meters.
Okay.
In Hong Kong is 47. Mm. In Tokyo is 48.
Okay, so it's not that big.
it's not
huge differences. Okay.
For us, it was amazing because the largest country in the world, in average, has the smallest apartment in the world.
I wouldn't have thought that. I've also never been there, so I don't.
Yeah,
know
for sure. But after we saw all this data with all these layers of data collecting and all these ratings, we literally started to understand what's the real world is. Mm. Because it's all about some publications, the smallest apartment in Japan found it with a 4 meters apartment, something. But literally, it's not about the whole city, right? But all your opinion about the city, all your what you know comes from these publications, like about Dubai. Dubai, literally, for the record, is a wonderful city. With a totally safety environment, with low prices, with opportunities for building business, etc. But I wrote tons of articles about Dubai, and I haven't found any useful, literally useful information about what is going to be my cost of living for the first year, for example. What neighborhood I should live?
Yes.
And a lot of questions.
I'm looking for all this. These are all the questions I'm asking right now, by the way.
Yeah, so it was covered. All this data was covered. So now it's an opportunity to discover it again, bring it in one place and give it for free to everyone. So just open this data. We calculated that approximately, you were speaking about migration. We think approximately 300 million people, millions people will migrate the next 5 years.
Wow.
300 millions.
Yeah. That sounds very believable to me. It's a lot.
It's a huge number.
It's like 1 in 25 people or so.
Yes, yeah. It's a huge number. But yeah, if the data is open and reliable and clear, and you can see opportunity to move, for example, give me a second. Very soon we are going to produce, we are going to launch one interesting piece of software, a very small piece of software. In this piece of software, you'll be able to write your address in any place in the world and parameters of your apartment, like square feet, what is the quality of repairment, etc. And click the button like, I would like to see what I can afford in any country in the world.
Wow.
And AI will give you options and highlighting you what quality, where you can get better quality, better life, based on these parameters of living, and where you can get better price. So literally, it's going to be advisor for moving.
Yes.
And you're going to get this all information by whole world in 1 minute.
Wow.
It's already launched for Dubai.
Okay.
But in stealth mode, so it's not public for now.
Yeah.
But once I saw that it's possible. And I wrote the address in my apartment of my apartment in Moscow, and it highlighted me where I can move to Dubai. I was shocked because I lived in not a fancy building, frankly speaking. Literally, in Russia we had five floors building, like a massive, massive development in the whole country. Mm-hmm. And this development is literally ugly. It was built in 70s.
Okay, is 80? It like that brutalist architecture?
Yeah. So it's like in with the panels, you know, by panels. And I saw that in Dubai, for the price of apartment, very shitty apartment, in Moscow, I could get a business class apartment in GVC here with access to the beach, like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's major geo arbitrage. It's fascinating. I mean, in the past couple of years, like I said, I've been traveling a lot. I think I've been to 20-something countries in the past 2 years and dozens of different cities in every continent except for Antarctica. And by the nature of what I do, I speak both publicly and privately with thousands of people across the globe in real life and hundreds of thousands, millions online. And something I'm being asked, which I've never been asked so much before at any point in my life. I've been traveling my whole life. No, I've never had so many people asking me this in every country, which is about recommendations of places to live.
Mm. It's a new trend.
Yes. Something has massively changed.
Yes.
Even the amount of people just asking me about the Middle East. I mean, like I said, I lived in Saudi from the age of 1 to 20, but I went to boarding school in the UK from the age of 11. And when people, you know, when I used to tell people that I lived in the Middle East or I lived in Saudi Arabia, there would be extraordinarily rare for people to be genuinely interested from a perspective of like, I wonder what it would be like to live over there or to check it out. Of course, the country was a lot more closed off. You couldn't even get a tourist visa if you wanted to. But there's been a shift just in the last couple years I've noticed with people becoming a lot more curious. Even with Dubai, I think perhaps it's just that enough people, there's been a sort of tipping point in enough people moving here and setting up businesses here and talking about it, that it's become less scary, because I think that people tend to view the whole Middle East as like a block, right? So even if you talk about Dubai, people are, you know, worried about safety and whatever. And you're, as someone who lives here, you look at them and you're like, what, bro, you live in New York City. What are you, like, right? You're kind of like, what are you talking about? Your safety concerns, right? You know, you live in like a crap part of London and you're here like afraid of Dubai. You see what I mean? But people are slowly kind of like waking up to it. And so I think a lot of people are seeing their countries on a certain trajectory, socially, culturally, politically, whatever it is that they're concerned about. And they're at least starting to think, maybe it would be a good idea to, you know, have a second option, maybe another residency, you know, I'm being taxed to death. Maybe I can set up my business in a different place. At least those gears are starting to turn. Mm. And that's what I mean when I say, like, again, you know, we're quite literally in the first quarter of the century, but I think also we're at this early stage of the, you know, early adopters are already moving and migrating.
Yes.
But even people in that sort of early majority phase, they're at least thinking about it and considering it in a way they didn't before. I remember when I was in Mexico I met lots of, and I think the whole pandemic situation also accelerated it.
For sure.
Right. I remember being in Mexico and I kept meeting people I met so many Canadians. I met people who had moved there from Ireland, from the UK, and almost all of them had moved in the previous 1 to 2 years.
Yeah, COVID is a catalyzer of this trend, for sure, for sure. And I think this trend will grow dramatically.
Same.
So I think now is 5% of population think about moving. Mm. And in 5 years, helps with AI, knowledge, everything, it's going to be 10 or maybe 15 already. Yeah. That's what I think. And people from developed countries, they literally have all opportunities to live better life.
Yes.
For sure. We can compare Dubai and London, for example. Mm-hmm. I have all this data in the application, but let me remember. So the cost of living in London is $5,000 a month, like average for a family.
For a family?
Yeah, for a family.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
In Dubai is four. Mm-hmm. So in Dubai, cost of living is less. What is it about salaries? So in London, average salary for a family, I think, it's 4,500. So
per month?
Yes. So it's literally a little bit less than cost of living average.
Yeah.
In Dubai is four. Okay. So in Dubai, approximately every year or every month, you could save money, like approximately 10% of your money you could save. In London, you definitely need to take more.
Well.
Yes.
Huge factor.
Yeah. In London, you definitely need to take more loans.
Yes.
So this is the opposite situation. But if you are owner of real estate in London, you could sell it and buy two, three, or maybe four similar quality apartments in Dubai. Mm-hmm. We tested it. So we tested neighborhoods. The neighborhood in London, Barking.
Yes.
You know about it.
Yeah, it's not a great place.
The average price there is $6,200 per square meter.
Okay.
And this is approximately exact price of Business Bay.
Okay.
So Business Bay is $7,000.
Yeah. And I know which one is nicer. I've been to both. Business Bay is a lot nicer.
Yeah.
And the weather is a million times better.
It depends.
It can get very hot in the summer, but I'm not a fan of London weather. So.
Yes, but summer in Dubai is something.
Oh, for sure. Again, I grew up in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, it's I've been dealing with it for decades.
Yeah, summer in Dubai is not a good time. But not a lot of human beings know about in that time you could take five-star hotel for $100 for night. So literally five stars hotel.
Yes.
And you could take a boat, you know, go fishing, mm-hmm. go make some party for, I don't know, $200, something like this for 3 hours. So it's literally nothing.
If you want big discounts, come to Dubai in the middle of the summer, because like no one else wants to be here, so you can you can get some fantastic deals.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So at that time, like every dollar you could spend, the best dollar you could spend in Dubai for the whole world, I think. So you could get more goods and more services. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. That's for sure. You know what? Like wonderful talk. Thank mm-hmm. you. Thank you
no
for
doubt,
this,
man. So what is the What's the plan for this year with Realist?
Yeah, so
where would you like to be this time next year?
In numbers, I would like to achieve $1 billion transactions.
Amazing.
Yeah, in cities, 300 cities, we are going to collect all data and give it for free. Mm-hmm. And I would like to make business and making transactions in 30 cities. Now we have six.
Okay.
We have Saudi Arabia, four cities in UAE, Bali, in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm. Where do you have in Saudi? Riyadh?
Riyadh. Oh, okay. Riyadh, yeah. Yeah, and 30 cities, it's a goal for us for today. And I hope that there are good chances to achieve a unicorn status this year. Probably.
No doubt. Well, I heard that your Wi-Fi password in the office is a reinforcement of that.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi.
Do you want to tell the story then?
Yeah, so once we started from the scratch business in Dubai, we definitely decided to become a unicorn before 2026.
Okay.
So,
by the way, please explain to listeners what unicorn is.
Unicorn.
Means
unicorn is a company with a valuation more than $1 billion.
Okay.
So, it's literally a rare company with great value. And this company could produce very great goods and services for internationally, probably. So the Wi-Fi passwords. in the team, we decided that we are going to become unicorn by 2026. I decided to write a password, Realist plus AI equals Unicorn 2024. And this is a nightmare for new people just to write this password every time. But every time they, you know, send some energy. It's funny. Yeah. But it helps.
Yeah, no. It's an affirmation, right? And everyone else is affirming it. So I think it's good. Alex, where can people learn more about you or find and follow online? What would you like people to check out?
Yeah, so it's all free, and people can write realist in Google, any kind of search engine. And
how do you spell that?
Realist with E at the end. It's okay. Like a French approach. Or Realist AI.
Awesome.
And 100% people can find us, find all technology platform, guys, everything for free. You don't need to pay for this information.
Amazing. Alex, thanks for coming on the show, man. Great.
Thank you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.